Right, well, Richard, it's kind of a bit of doom and gloom at the moment for some of our Yorkshire sides. If it isn't results going their way, it's players that could potentially be leaving. Just first of all, what have you made of, well, just pick Leeds United first of all. So far, it's a winless run, but it's an unbeaten run. What have you made of it?
Yeah, it's been steady. And I've seen them a couple of times now, and you know, they're well organised. You know, they're obviously a work in progress. Quite a few players and key players have come in during the summer. You know, players who you expect to give them that little bit of sparkle, certainly going forward. So they're getting there. Obviously, it's everyone would have liked to win by now, and it's going to be tough going to Derby. So obviously, the risk is that we're going to the international break with Leeds not having won a game yet, which is never ideal. But you know, there's progress being made, I think, at the club, and I still think they're going to be sort of, you know, top 10, top 12 sort of side.
Of course, that opportunity to get the win really was there in one of the previous games against Bristol City. To throw it away like that really just was such a frustrating one for the fans.
Oh, definitely. When you're 2-0 up with 1 minute to go, you know, that should be game over. Obviously, there's been a bit of criticism since from various quarters as to why they didn't hold out. And, you know, Sylvester came in for some criticism as well afterwards. But sometimes these things just happen. You know, there might be times later in the season where Leeds have had less of a game and it's 1-1 and they just suddenly get a last-minute winner. You know, these things do even themselves out. Like I say, it was disappointing, especially because Bristol City hadn't a point at that stage. And, you know, it's not like they had any real optimism about them to come back like they did. But Leeds allowed them to do so, and obviously they've got to move forward now. I saw them against Sheffield Wednesday last week, and I was encouraged by it. You know, it wasn't a great game, and sadly lacking, I thought, a little bit in terms of Derby atmosphere and that little bite that you expect from a game against Sheffield Wednesday. But of the two sides, I thought Leeds were the one that certainly looked more likely to win it in the second half, even though they were overly fluid going forward. So actually, I think they're going to get there. I just think everyone's going to have to be a little bit patient.
Looking at that Wednesday performance, it really was a case. Sheffield Wednesday had that big chance, that fantastic wonder goal, and then Leeds basically were in control of that from that moment on, really.
They were, without really creating any chances that the goalkeeper had to save. Obviously, there was Chris Wood's goal, which was brilliant from Dallas on the wing. And then Wood, really, I would have thought, should have scored with that header just afterwards to make it 2-1 when he just put it wide. But it's not like, all right, you know, Leeds dominated possession, but Wednesday came with a 4-1-4-1, obviously just looking to protect him. I thought Leeds found that hard to break down. You know, it's not as though Price in the Wednesday goal had loads to do. You know, he wasn't making save after save after save. So that was slightly disappointing. But like I say, that's going to, you know, it's going to take time, is that. They're having to get used to each other. You know, I thought they were a lot better with Murphy in midfield. I think he's a smashing player at championship level. And him being back now from his knee injury, he's big, you know, big plus for Leeds. And I think with him there, and, you know, he can start getting the ball out to the likes of Dallas and up to Wood. And Antonucci, I think, started really well. So it will come together. But obviously, like I say, it's just taking a bit more time than we hoped at the moment.
And looking at, obviously, the transfer window now not that far from closing, where do you think Uwe Rosa will be looking at to bring in a bit more depth to the squad?
Creativity, really. Obviously, Forestieri is the big one he's been trying to get, or the club have been trying to get over the line. He's a fantastic player at this level. You know, I've seen him for the first time against Huddersfield a couple of years ago, and he had a tendency to dive a little bit, which, you know, took a little bit of shine off his performance. But once he had the ball at his feet and running at people, he's got some talent. You know, might not score that, you know, overly that many goals, but I think he'll create a hell of a lot for Wood. And I think he'll be a smashing signing. Whether he wants to come, we're not sure. Obviously, he's back in Watford's plans a little bit over the last few days. But it's just that little bit of creativity, I think, maybe on the right-hand side, just to give it that little bit variety. I think at the moment, you know, they work hard. They're missing Cook. He's a big player for them. But I just think that something to make something happen in the final third is what Juve needs.
And so it's no surprise that they're also being linked with Anthony Limbone, this player from NEC in Holland, a very quick winger and someone who, like you said, would add that creativity.
That's it, because that's just the one thing they're lacking. Obviously, I know there's speculation that Belushi might leave and this, that and the other, but, you know, I think the back fours look good. I think they look, you know, well set up. I think Bamba is a fantastic signing, a real leader and somebody who everyone feeds off, you know, whether you're a centre-half, whether you're the defensive midfield in front of him. He just provides that leadership, and I think you know, if there is money available, and we're certainly led to believe that there is, then it's in that final third just to give it that push. Because obviously four draws, if you've won a couple of them so far, Leeds now, then you'd be looking to be in the top six. I know it's a very early table, but that's the margins that you deal with in the Championship. You know, we saw last season, I think, with about six or seven games to go, there were 6 or 7 points between the top six. You know, if you can turn a few draws into wins, and obviously it's draws that Leeds have been getting at the moment, and that can make all the difference come the final shake-up.
We're in a position now where we're also looking at the Dave Hockaday anniversary. It's only a couple of days to the year since he was got rid of. Obviously, Uwe Rosler's going to be given more time than that, but do you think he'll be given enough time to implement the ideas he's got?
We hope so. We hope lessons were learnt last year. You know, there was it was chaotic at times at Leeds. It was a bad appointment, was Dave Hockaday. There's no getting away from that. You know, we were all stunned when it came through, and obviously you hope it worked, but it didn't, spectacularly didn't. And we hope that, like I say, we hope mistakes have been learned from, and the signs are in the summer that they were, because, you know, all of a sudden we've got proper football people brought in. You know, Adam Pearson was the first one, Juve, a proper football club secretary, rather than various people doing different jobs, and that makes such a difference. It feels a professional setup. Obviously the big elephant in the room is, you know, what sometimes maverick decisions can be made at Leeds. We all know that with Massimo Cellino. But hopefully, you know, he's not done that so far. He's got people in it, and he's backed the manager. You know, you can't get away from the money that he's put in this time. That's big money for a Championship club without parachute payments. Obviously, the likes of Hull and Burnley, who are trying to spend big money, and Burnley have just spent big money. They've got £24 million in parachute payments this year, extra on top of the normal income. Leeds don't have that. So the money they have spent so far, and the Wood signing took me by surprise. I didn't think that sort of money was there. Another million was found from Dallas, and if another $3 million is there for Forestieri, then fair play to Cellino for that. And let's hope that he can. He's going to show patience, because, like I said, they've got a good manager in there, and there's a team that's coming together. So fingers crossed a bit of stability is in order.
And looking at another team who have spent a fair bit of money in the Championship is Sheffield Wednesday. And a bit like Leeds United, they've been putting in decent performances. Maybe one or two results not gone their way, but obviously through to the next round of the Capital One Cup. Just what have you made to their start?
Yeah, again, they're another work in progress. You know, it's a different setup there that they have to Leeds, in the fact that at Hillsborough there's a transfer committee. They go out, scout the players, negotiate the deals, bring them in and present them to the head coach. Carlos Cavallo's worked like that abroad. Obviously, most of his career has been in Portugal, Turkey, Greece. And he's used to that sort of setup, and he's comfortable with it. I've been over a few times to see him. You know, he's a nice guy, and he wants to play attacking football, which I know the Chancieri want, because that was their big, not complaint, but disappointment last year, that, you know, Leeds, Sheffield Wednesday were a big, just a functional side, really, which to me, they didn't have the money to spend, so I had no problem with that. But obviously the owners want to see a bit more attacking flair about them. And again, they put the money in. You know, the goal by Matthias on Saturday at Leeds, you know, he was £1 million-plus player. There's big money being spent at Hillsborough, and they're hoping to get Gary Hooper in. I think it's on loan before the deadline. He was left out of Norwich's squad last night. So, you know, again, they're a work in progress. I'm not sure they'll, you know, I don't think a lot of patience will be there. You know, I'm hoping there will be. But he's new to football, as Chancieri, and he admits he doesn't know that much about it. But obviously he got rid of Stuart Gray quite clinically. So the pressure was on Cavallo right from the start. But so far he's doing all right. They're up in the top 10. Again, it's an early table. But they're looking good. They're looking good going forward. They came to Leeds for a point and got a point. But obviously they've got Middlesbrough this weekend, which will be tough. But they beat them twice last season. So if they can win that again, they're going to the if they can beat Borough, sorry, then they can go into the international break, feeling that it's been a decent start, and like I say, a great draw from as well. Newcastle United away in the cup. I would have thought they'd take thousands up the A1 for that one, and that'd be occasion to savour for everybody.
And for Sheffield Wednesday, if they were to get Gary Hooper, that's a real statement of intent, because obviously he's a player who has done really well in the Champions League with Celtic, and I know it's going to be a significant investment in terms of the fee they've agreed and the wages as well.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, like, it's quite telling this week. Cavallo, when he was speaking to the press, he told us that, because, you know, people say, well, why are you sticking with one up front like he has done at Leeds with Nuhu? And it basically gave the impression they don't think they've got two strikers who can play together up front. So obviously Hooper will change that. makes it a little bit more attack-minded, and as you say, he's a proven performer at this level. So, you know, I really hope that Wednesday can get that signing over the line, because he'd be a big, big capture for them, and bring a little bit more flair and a little bit more goal, potency up front, because I struggled against Reading last week. Obviously, didn't have that many shots against Leeds on Saturday. They'll just bring that little extra variety to the front line, a little bit like Leeds need, and hopefully make them push on.
Talking about a team who would be more than happy to have Gary Hooper in their ranks, it's Huddersfield Town. And just how worrying a time do you think it is? Because obviously Alex Smithies has gone. There's the rumours regarding Jacob Butterfield. You know, they are losing their best players. Do you think it is a case for Chris Powell? He would take survival right now.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, they're hoping to push on from last year. I'm not a big fan of this transfer window stretching in to the first 3 or 4 weeks of a season, I must admit. You know, I think it should all be done and dusted either the end of July. I don't know, people say, well, you know, all the deals aren't done, but if people had a deadline and they'd have to stick to it, then the deals that are done on August the 31st have been done on July the 31st. And then the season starts and you could get on with it, because, you know, obviously Huddersfield have got this hanging over them. Lost Smithies, which, you know, with Joe Murphy, I thought that was decent business, I have to say. Butterfield would be a different case altogether for me, because he makes them tick. I did Huddersfield last Tuesday against Brighton, and he was outstanding after half-time, and, you know, Town were a different side with him driving forward, and I'm told he played well again at Fulham, so it'd be a big loss and not a lot of time to change it. The ethos of Huddersfield Town has to be, because they'd lose money every season. You know, they lost £6.8 million last year, and the 2 years before that, they lost £10 million. They have to sign players and develop them. They did it with Adam Clayton. They've done it with Connor Cody. Obviously, Smithies was a kid who came through the ranks. That's the way they do it. You know, Mackie Wells will go at some stage. They pay £1.2 million to Bradford. You know, will they get three and a half down the line? Butterfield, they paid less than £1 million for. They might be looking at three. That's how they work. That's why they've signed Dempsey and the young lad from Man City. But it does mean that building something is very, very difficult. And there's only so many times you can go to the well in terms of building a squad and developing it before you get in trouble. So hopefully Town can hold on to Butterfield.
I suppose the worry for Huddersfield Town fans is that Derby have put a couple of bids in. It isn't the case. They've had that one rejection and gone away. They've kept coming back. And obviously, with the injury to Will Hughes, he would be a player who would start for Derby.
Yeah, well, that's obviously the thing that's focused minds down at Pride Park. I still think there'll be more to come in terms of bids as well. They obviously want him. It's whether Town can hold out. You know, do you sell a player now for £3.5-4 million who in January could be worth £2 million? That's only a question the board can answer, but obviously the bigger picture as well is if you do get £3-3.5 million for him, if you can actually sign a player for £1 million who's going to be similar, which is obviously a big, big challenge, but if they could do it, then that's the ethos of the club. But personally, I hope they can hold on to him, I really do.
You've spoken about parachute payments. One of them teams who's got them is Hull City. Now, for Steve Bruce, I suppose it's a case he's lost players he wanted to keep, the likes of Robbie Brady and James Chester, and he's kept one or two of the players that I think he'd have been OK to leave, the likes of Abel Hernandez, who's on big money. Just what have you made to their start?
Yeah, it's been decent. I've been to him at Charlton on Saturday when they were poor, but I've seen the first three league games, and they've looked good. You know, in parts, they've looked very, very good. Again, the transfer window's a nightmare for Hull at the moment, because anything could happen between now and next Tuesday. You know, there's Premier League clubs circling. Michael Dawson has been linked. Ahmed Mohammadi has been linked. Hernandez obviously wants to get out. Jelovic wants to get out. Diame, I know he's only just got back, but if somebody came in with an offer that triggered his release clause, he'd have to leave as well. You know, Steve Bruce is facing the nightmare scenario that in the last 24, 48 hours of the transfer window, he could lose three or four massive players. And then getting players in to replace them is going to be very, very hard. At the moment, if they kept this squad together, and they can afford to do that, I'm told, because obviously they have the relegation wage clauses, which brought everything down between 30 and 40%. If they kept this squad together, they'd have a great chance of going up. But it's that nightmare for them at the moment that they could lose those three or four players and then struggle maybe only get one or two in who aren't adequate replacements. So at the moment it's looking good for them, but this final week of the season could actually define how Hull City get on.
I was going to say, do you think Steve Bruce has got a list of players just in case some of these players that are currently with the club do leave?
Oh, he has, yeah, but you know, football being football, these players can't hang around and wait for him just in case he needs them. You know, if somebody else comes in and wants him, he'll have to, you know, he'll get picked too. That's up with Andre Gray. Obviously, you're not going to spend £9 million on Andre Gray when you've still got Hernandez and Jelovic up front, because they're on 30,000 plus a week wages. Obviously, if one of them left, then that frees up the money over the season, not only for Andre Gray's wages, and if he's going to be signed for £9 million, they want £9 million strikers worth of wages. So, you know, he's caught between the devil and the deep blue sea at the moment, is Steve Bruce. And once again, that's why I feel that the transfer window, it does nobody any favours at the moment. The fact that it's open for another week, and well, by the time it closes, the season will have been going sort of 3.5 weeks.
And looking at the final Yorkshire team in the Championship, it's Rolf Remmend. It just hasn't been a very good start to the season, has it?
No, it's obviously they stayed up just last season. A big turnover of players, as there always is, at the Millers in the summer under Steve Evans. Not quite clicked yet. You know, obviously a decent performance last night against Norwich, just to, with a bowed out 2-1, there's no shame in that. But they need a win at home. They really do. That opening day game against MK Dons was a massive blow, because a newly promoted side, you'd hope you could take 3 points and it gets everyone settled down, but obviously that's not happened, and they're playing catch up. And all right, Leeds, if Leeds went into the, as we said earlier, went into the international break without a win, but say they've drawn all five, then there is crumbs of comfort in that. If Rotherham can't win this weekend and they go into the international break, it's a long 2 weeks, is that? Because then you know that in those 2 games in 3 days, when when the Championship starts again, they need some points on the board and quick, or they're in danger of sort of getting left down there. And as we all know, after a bad start, it can be very, very, very hard to get out of trouble.
One player who has been linked to Rotherham, I think it's more Twitter rumours than anything, is Joey Barton. Do you think that deal could happen? Obviously, he'd ask for a lot of money, wouldn't he?
He would. I think Steve Evans summed it up neatly, really, when he said they couldn't afford to pay Joey's petrol, never mind his wages. So I can't see that being the case. I really can't. Obviously, if they pulled that off, fantastic. But I can't see Joey Barton wanting to go to Rotherham, and I can't see Rotherham being able to afford him, I'm afraid.
And just looking now at the Yorkshire sides in general, out of all the fans in the Championship, who do you think will be the happiest right now?
Oh, it's difficult, that. But like I said, nobody's had a great start. Rotherham will be worried. Huddersfield will be anxious. Leeds and Wednesday will be hoping for better things. And Hull will be just praying for the transfer deadline to come round. And if it does, then they'll be able to look forward with optimism. If it does come round and nobody's left, so I'd say things could change over the next week, I think, quite a bit in terms of the mood of our supporters in the county.
And looking at the Championship, just who do you think is going to win it?
Well, Wolves, I really fancied at the start of the season. I saw them against Hull a couple of weeks ago and they looked decent. Obviously, I see a Phoebe. Norwich was supposed to be backing for him. He'd be a big loss, because that's the big thing with them. They've got a Phoebe and Dicko up front. They're two great strikers at Championship level. Derby, I still expect to come through. I know they've had a slow start and went out of the League Cup. And Middlesbrough were my tick for the title, and I think they'll come through. I think anyone who finishes above Middlesbrough will end up winning the league.